Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
I tell you what, it's awesome to have the Spirit of the Lord in this place. Amen. You don't know what you got until it's gone. A lot of times we take, Bobby Connor said this, he said, most of the time we're way too familiar with a God that we barely know. We get real familiar with what he does and how he does it, but we barely know him. How many of you think you just know all they are about God? Now, we're in a good place. I want to mention that school starts back, naturally, and probably some of them's already started back. I don't really know which one started, which one hadn't. But you know, you have public schools, you have charter schools, and you have private schools, Christian schools. And some of those are Trinity. You have Trinity Christian Academy, Thomas Jefferson Classical Academy, the Masters Academy, Lake Lure Classical Academy, and we have HARC, which is a homeschool association of Rutherford County. But there's one more you may not know about, and I want to make sure that you do know about it, and that is Arise Christian Academy. So I would like for you to come up.
Want to testify about the goodness of the Lord. He took an idea between two mamas and he's made it into a school. And we are just so grateful for what he's done for us to be able to be where we are right now. I mean, it has been lightning fast and only by his divine grace and glory that we've been able to do it. But in September, Arise Christian Academy will open its doors for the very first time to children. And we're... Yeah. We are committed to building on the foundation of Christ's teaching and to nurture children, mind, body, and spirit. We believe each child has a calling from the Lord, and it is our purpose to help them begin that journey. We're enrolling kindergarten through 12th grade this year, and currently we have about 20 students. We would value your prayers, and as we prepare for this new year, just continue to keep us covered in prayer. We will be in Mooresboro area, and if you want to know more, you can ask me. I'm the head of the school, or you can look us up online. Our website's trailblazersarise.com.
Good job. Amen. How y'all doing? Let me see if this thing works. Are we on and ready? Oh, did I do that or did you do that? I did that. Am I going? Am I doing it? I did it. I want to finish up today, hopefully, about doing right in a world of wrong. How many of you know that we live in a whole world of wrong? We've just got so many things that are going on. You know, and last week we talked a little bit about the thing concerning faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Thank you, brother. Evidence of things not seen, and by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. A good testimony is the one that's got God in it. Amen. Amen. That's a good testimony. So it's by faith that we're going to be able to do these things. We talked about that some. We talked last week about without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please Him. He's pleased with you as who you are because He made you who you are. And he's pleased with that. But he might not be pleased with everything we do. So one of our things we need to do is become more like Christ and please him in everything that we do. And we do that by becoming more like Christ. He said, and he who comes to God must believe that he is. He exists today, he lives today, and he is. He is everything you and I need. Everything you and I need. And then it goes on, and that he is, there it is, he is again. And what is he? He's a rewarder of those who seek him diligently, who diligently seek him, diligently seeking him. The question is, are we diligently seeking him? Are we just riding a wave, or we're just strolling through the earth or whatever? You know, we need to be diligently seeking him in everything that we do. So here's the thing. What we believe about the size of our God will determine the size of our faith. If he's big enough to you, he can do the impossible. If he's not that big to you, he won't be able to do the impossible in your eyes. Your faith will not be there in order to be able to say he can do this. Everybody that has a sickness, God paid for your healing through the stripes on his son's back. And he did that just for you. Just for all of us that are sick or having anything that's going on physically, he said, I did it for you. I did it for you. How many of you in here are born again? You know, Jesus, you're born again. Praise God for all that. I mean, praise God for that. But he did it. He's the one that did it. I'm just grateful that he is who he is. And we go on and we look at this thing and we say, okay, a faith that made Jesus marvel. Did you know that there's a faith that makes Jesus marvel? That word marvel is to be astonished. To be astonished and admired. There is a faith that causes Jesus to be astonished, and he will admire the faith that he sees. And we're short on time today, so I'm just going to look at this. Matthew chapter 8 said, a centurion came to him, entreating him, and said, Lord, my servant is laying paralyzed at home, suffering great pain. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. Oh, I love that about Jesus. Here's a Roman soldier. He's saying, I got a servant that's at home. He's laying in bed paralyzed and is in great pain. He says, I'll come heal him. Don't you just love Jesus? How many of you love Jesus? I'll come heal him. I just love that. I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come underneath my roof. But just say the word. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. I'm not worthy for you to even come and put your feet into my... This is a Roman guy. I'm not worthy for you to come to my home. But you just say the word. Listen to that. So you just say the word and my servant will be healed. He said, for I too am a man under authority. Say under authority. I too am a man under authority. We do not take authority strong enough in God. We do not look at authority the way God looks at authority a lot of times. And we really need to change our view in some cases about how we operate under authority. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Me and you okay, brother. Rest of us, I don't know about. But I'm messing with you. But he said, no, listen, I understand this thing about authority. He said, I say to this one, to go and he goes. I say to this one another and he does that, and I say to another one and he goes and does that, and he understands authority. He said, he does this and I tell my slave to do this and he does it. Now look at verse 10. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and admired the faith that this Roman had. Don't you want to astonish? Don't you want the Lord to be marveled at the faith that you're carrying? It's a possibility to do it. But see, here's where it came. This person understood authority and knew that if Jesus just said the word, his slave, his servant would be healed. Just say the word, because I understand authority. Just say it. And Jesus marveled at that. Matter of fact, he said, truly, he turns to the other people with him. He turns and he said, truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I hadn't seen that kind of faith anywhere in Israel. And it came to a centurion who understood authority, who understood being underneath authority. So, but see, we've got all this stuff about authority that we don't like. Then Jesus looks at him and says, go your way. Let it be done to you as you have believed. Go your way. Let it be done to you as you have believed. Think about that. I understand that all you had to do is say the word, because I too am a man under authority. So you have to be under authority to be able to understand authority. To understand authority is to stand under authority. To understand authority, you have to stand under authority. I love y'all three too. I really do. No, but you begin to understand this thing. But see, here's the thing about it. You know, here's a question. He said, it's not a question statement. He said, how to respond when asked to do something that is wrong in God's sight? Ponder that question a minute. You're being asked, and it could be a teacher, it could be an employer, it could be anybody that's in authority. It could be anybody just telling you to do something wrong. That is against God. That is a sin. That is not good in God's eyes. Do you know how to respond? Okay, do you know how to respond biblically? There is a difference. There is a difference. How you respond, if you respond without looking at it biblically and walking with God, you're actually reacting more than you are responding. I tell you, what we do, we have a tendency that if somebody tells us to do something wrong and we don't like it, we just bow up. I tell you right now, I ain't going to do that. Well, let me tell you one thing. Y'all know, I know I'm not talking to anybody. I know I'm not talking to these five that has responded. I'm messing with you, I really am. But see, the thing is, we have this tendency to say, okay, I'm just gonna let them have it. Well, that's the worst thing you can do is let them have it. I'm gonna give them a piece of my mind. That won't take long. I just had to say it. And if that doesn't fit any of you, just say, that's for somebody else. So I say, you got this thing about, you know, I just give them a piece of my mind. Well, it's not the best thing to do. Because that peace of mind doesn't correlate with the mind of Christ and the way of God. You're just in the flesh. I don't care how much mind you're going to give them. So we'll bow up in the flesh about something that we've been told to do or told to say or I said something about, and all of a sudden it's like, how many of you have ever done that? Next week's sermon's going to be online. Telling you. No, we have all done that. We have all reacted instead of responded. We've all said things, and it's like toothpaste before. You know, we said, okay, once you squeeze it out, you can't get it back in. No, it's out there for everybody to see, everybody to look at, and everybody to review. What did he say? I think he said, no, this is what he said. Look at this mess. This is what he said. This is what he said. And all of a sudden, we wished we could draw that back. And the reason being that, because we realized it was in the flesh. We realized not doing the things the way God wants us to do it. But anyway, over in Daniel 1, I'm going to try to get through this, probably won't, but over in Daniel, it said that, now he's in captivity and he's 14 to 17 years old, Daniel 1, it said, and the king appointed them, they're already captivated, a daily ration of the king's choice food and wine for them to drink. But the one thing about it was it's against the Jewish law for them boys to do that. So that's the thing. They want them to serve. The king wants them to serve in the palace and everything, but he wants them to do this thing about eating the food of the king and to drink the wine and all that kind of stuff, and not supposed to do that as a little Jewish boy. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he had drank. Now watch this. He purposed himself. He's on purpose doing this, not by accident. Purposed in his heart. Then he goes on and says, therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now he said, now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. I fear the king. He's the one that said you got to eat this. And why should he see your faces look worse than the other young men look who are your age? And then he makes this statement. I love it. He said, then you would endanger my head before the king. He's being real. I said, Daniel, I'd like to do this for you. He said, but the king said to do this, and if you don't come out looking like the rest of these guys, you're going to look bad. I don't know what I'm going to do except lose my head. So it goes on to Daniel. So Daniel said to him, he said, test us for 10 days and give us vegetables to eat and water to drink, and let us appear before you, and you can examine us and the appearance of the men who eat. You can examine us, and you can examine those who ate the king's delicacies. And watch this. And as you see fit, deal with your servants. So he consented in this matter and tested them for 10 days. Now, I'm going to rapidly go through this. I really am because I don't have enough time to dwell on all of it. So here's what we do when we're asked to do something wrong, and it's all principles. How many of you know when you begin to study the Word of God, you find principles hidden in things that it is not really out on top, but you really find the principle of what God's saying underneath. How many of you know that? All right, so let's look at this thing together. So it says, Daniel, and we read that. So making godly appeals. Number one, check the purpose of your heart. What have you purposed in your heart? What have you determined? Or have you determined anything? Have you purposed anything? See, long before the thing came to Daniel to eat this, he had already purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. So you begin to see that this all was in all of it one time, but you can take pictures of it as we go or whatever. But purpose, what is the purpose in your heart? You got to check your heart. What is the reality of my walk with God? Not what is my Sunday morning routine. Not what I do on Sunday or Wednesday. What is the reality of my walking out what he's put in? What is the reality of my life being walked out in Christ and Christ in me? You know, we say, you know, love God. You know, love God, love people, make a difference, and obey with love. That's, you know, the first three, that's our slogan. Love God, love people, make a difference. You know, but a lot of times we say, we love God, we love people, but I'm going to make my own difference. Y'all know I'm talking. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. See, to make a difference is doing his difference. To make a difference is doing what he wants you to do. How many of you, sometimes we just don't like what he tells us to do? Oh, there's a few of them. The rest of you, now we're going to talk two Sundays about life. No, see, but love God, love people, and make a difference in people's lives. How are you going to do that? By honoring him, loving God, loving people, and then you do what you need to do that he wants you to do. Do what he wants you to do. That's the reason you obey, that you obey in love. Next, here's number two. Openly convey your position. Somebody asks you to do something wrong, then you openly convey your position. You verbally identify with the Lord. Everybody say verbally. You know what that means? She just gave me a sign. Is that a sign? Yeah, talk. You know sign language? Do you know sign? You don't, but you knew that one. Yeah, I got a story to tell you sometime. I can't tell it in public. But look, convey your position. We got to be able to talk about our identity with the Lord. You know, we'll be around somebody and they don't even know we're Christian. Are you hearing me? But at the same time, you don't go around at the same time say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Hey, I'm a Christian. Hey, I'm a Christian. Here's my card. Here's my card. I met pastors before and they said, here's my card. And it said, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He does them all. I remember distinctly. And I looked at that card and I said, boy, we don't need anybody but you. I did. I told him that. I said, we don't need anybody but you. He said, what do you mean? I said, you got them all listed here. You're all of these. Well, it means I can do them all. I said, well, did you leave out any? Anyway, conversation didn't last long, but anyway, I understand. I was about to tell y'all last week that it was prophesied over me. Don't say it. I know what you're about to say. I get the point. I prophesied over me, you're going to be a porcupine. And your quills are going to be quills of truth, and you'll prick people with the truth. And I said, I do not want to be a porcupine. You need to prophesy to me that I'm going to be a teddy bear. One that people love to hug and squeeze and just look at you. No, you're a porcupine. You know, and then all of a sudden I begin to look at the process of my life, you know, and Brenda said, you have a way about you to bring out truth, regardless if it hurts them or not. And I said, I don't want to hurt people, but I do want people to know the truth. Really. So we need to verbally identify with the Lord. We need to identify, you know, I'm a born again Christian. He is my Lord. He's not just my Savior. I thank God that he's my Savior, but he is also my Lord. He is my master. Y'all get that? So Daniel did that. Daniel let him know. He said, I can't do that. I done made a purpose that I'd follow God. I done purposed in my heart. Listen, you need to purpose in your heart before you face this. That's true. Before you face the temptation of somebody wanting you to do something that is against God. And here's something you say, my Christian faith won't allow me to do that. That's what we need to teach all of our young people. Our young people, you need to tell them that when they ask you to do this, and then when you go spend a night with somebody and they're doing something that it's not God, you need to be able to say this. Train your kids to say this, that I'm a Christian and my Christian faith won't allow me to do that. Are you hearing me? There was one girl that went to a party and that's going to do a séance. You're going to talk to the dead and all that, want the dead to talk back to them. But this girl had already been trained by her father and her mother to say, I am a Christian and my Christian faith won't let me do that. And it was her whole class was in the overnight stay. So the teacher happened to be there, and so she was asking herself, why will you not do it? Why can't you do this? It's just a game. She says, not a game for me. I know I'm not supposed to do that, and I can't participate. She didn't do it with an arrogant spirit. She didn't do it with, I'm over you, I'm boss, and all that kind of stuff. She just said, I just can't participate in that. That's how we need to raise our kids. We need to raise our kids to be able to give answers to people when they're wanting them to do something that's wrong. Oh, my. Then look for God's favor. It said in the Bible that God gave Daniel favor. Why? Because he's already purposed in his heart. He knows the direction of where he's going, and God said, I'm going to give you favor. How many of you want God's favor? Purpose in your heart, do what he wants you to do. All right, let's go on. Check your attitudes, independent spirit, disloyal, independent. You don't tell me what to do. That's an independent spirit. I might not, but then again, it might be God speaking to you. You know, so when we start to have an independent spirit, we have a disloyalty. Then we have a condemning spirit. I'm right, you're wrong. Does anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Okay, hey, we're getting more on the page. So, condemning spirit. Then we have a resistant spirit that has no submission. I'm not going to be told what to do. Daniel didn't have that in him. Neither should we. There's no humility in a resistant spirit. There's just no humility. And Jesus said, if you learn of me, you're going to learn humility. Because he said, come learn of me because I am meek and humble. Okay, ungrateful spirit begins pride. You're ungrateful for what you do have. All right, then you have pride. And then you have a slothful spirit that is laziness, dishonesty, and laziness. Now, if we've already got a relationship happening with our authority, and this is my relationship with them, you can forget making an appeal. Are you hearing me? If this is your relationship already with your authority, you can forget going to them and making an appeal. They already see your life. I hope this means something. Then you have a bitter spirit. Having a bitter spirit is all about you. Everything didn't go my way. So you got this thing about selfishness. I'm selfish. I want it my way. Anyways, check your attitudes. He's asking you to do something, but check it. If you already got a bad relationship with the person that's already over you, they're not going to listen to you. Well, because you've already proven you're independent, you're condemning, you're resistant, you're ungrateful, and you're slothful, and you're bitter. That doesn't open doors for you. Amen? All right, I'm going to move on to the next one. The next one says, clear your conscience. Daniel 1:4 says, there's no blemishes. He said, go pick these guys, and I don't want any blemishes. So we have to be at a place to where we have no blemishes. Then he says, then we need to correct the offending attitudes. Whatever offending attitude you have, go make it right. David had one time. He was in a cave, and Saul, who was trying to kill him, came in, and David reached up behind him. He didn't know it was there, and he cut the bottom of his robe off, the king's robe, and just to let him know, I was here, and I could have killed you, but I didn't. That's a good attitude to have, isn't it? You know, but people said, well, he was trying to kill him. You know, he was trying to kill him, but he did that. But after he did that, the Bible says that his heart smote, David's heart smote him. David's heart was convicted by what he had done. He had done wrong, and he was convicted. And after when they all came out, he told the king, he said, this is what I did. So he made it right. He made it right with the king. You know, we think we can treat people any old way we can treat people, any old way we want to, whatever we want to say, we can say. It's just like, well, I've got the freedom. Well, you don't. I didn't want Jesus said. Jesus said, you have freedom, but do not let your freedom become a stumbling block to other people. Okay. Fulfill the known wishes. When you're over somebody, do you know what your leader wants? And he's got certain wishes that just fulfill the wishes. Hey, if he would like to have this done and it ain't your job, go do it. Go do it. Fulfill the known wishes. You know, that shows that you are grateful and that you want to please him. You want to, and I said, well, you're not supposed to please man. That is not what I'm talking about. Yeah, we use all these things in the wrong context and everything. I mean, we're awful sometimes about that. Now, I repent. Yeah, go. Yeah. Then learn deference. Limiting my freedom in order to not offend the wishes of those I serve. See the deference. Learning that my freedom, I have the freedom. Paul said, I have the freedom to do that. But when I'm over here and it offends them, I'm not going to do it. He's got the freedom to do it. But the deference in him, the way of the Lord in him said, I'm not going to do that even though it's free for me to do. You learning anything? Okay, learn deference. We just got a few more. So please. Said, find out what the objectives are. Find out what their objectives are about asking you to do something that's wrong. What is their goal? What are their goals? And said, why should your faces look more haggard? That's what the guy said before when he was talking about his head. He said, why should your face not look good as the rest of them? So understand the objective. Well, you got to understand the objective. What are the basic goals? Are y'all with me? See, this is something that you need to, I got some copies over here. Take them home. Begin to read them and begin to get them inside you and teach your children how to do this. Commit to make the one you serve successful. Boy, I tell you, people say, it ain't my job to make him successful. No, listen, you need to commit to say, hey, if you want your company to do better, make the person over you successful. They'll take note of it. And that's God's way. So you're here to do the job, but say, no, I'm not. Am I here to make him successful as well? Sure you are. That's the reason they hired you. Okay, learn their frame of reference. Where is their frame of reference? What are they wanting to accomplish here? And then begin to discern what God's intentions are. What are God's intentions here for you? What are God's intentions for him or for her? Let's go on. Then you begin to create an alternative. Give us vegetables and vegetables to eat and water to drink. See, show genuine respect and service. People know when you respect them. People know when you disrespect them. People know when you got an attitude. Show the genuine respect and service. Extend your frame of reference. Extend it. If you're only thinking this much, think out of the box. How can we accomplish this without me doing that? View alternatives from their perspective. Bring up whatever your alternative is and look at it from their perspective. Will it accomplish what they wanted to doing a sin? Okay. Then make the appeal. Once you go through all those steps, then you can make the appeal. Then after 10 days, our parents be examined before you. So now you examine us. Explain your convictions without condemning. You're wrong. You're this. You're that. This is what's right. I'm not going to do that. This is what's right. This is what I'm going to do. So it's a condemning approach when you got to answer, nobody else has got. So explain your convictions without condemning. Have a learning spirit. People don't, if you disagree with somebody, go talk to them about it and go and tell them you're coming as a learner. I'm wanting to learn. Tell me more about this. Tell me more why you think it's this way. Have a learning spirit. Have a spirit to learn. Have a spirit to serve. Have a servant's heart. Give the alternative. Emphasize their goals as you give the alternative. Then learn or leave their decision or emphasize their goals, then leave their decision to them. Now, what does that mean? That means the Bible, he said, now after you inspect them all this, you do with us whatever you want to do. What are they saying? They're saying, we're willing to suffer. Here's it is. They give God time to change their minds. Expect them to feel pressure from God. And you need to expect them to pressure you. Yeah, but I'm a Christian. You're not exempt from pressure. Why is that? Because pressure will build character. God's not going to say, I'm not going to let you feel any pressure. I don't care if your character grows or not. No, that's not. And cause you to be uncomfortable. You know why he's willing to do that? Because he sent you a comforter. If you wasn't going to be uncomfortable, you wouldn't need a comforter. Let's go ahead. Then it goes on and says, be consistent. Build character. Be consistent in your right responses. Don't stop. Be consistent. Then do not do evil. Then be willing to suffer for not doing evil. And the Bible says that in 1 Peter 3, it says this, if you should suffer for one's sake, for the sake of righteousness, suffering for the sake of righteousness, he said, you're blessed. How many of you want to be blessed in here today? After reading this, how many of you want to be blessed today? See, the thing is, are you willing to suffer for righteousness' sake? Not for pride's sake, not for haughtiness, not for, no, that's suffering for your own sake. And that gives you no reward. He said, once you're blessed, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, and do not be afraid of their threats, there may be threats, nor be troubled. That's the word of God. Then he says this, for it is better, if God should will it, so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than doing for what is wrong. If you're going to suffer, suffer for righteousness' sake. You ready? Let's go on. Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, you're going to suffer for righteousness' sake? He said, the kingdom of heaven is at your disposal. I'm suffering for doing righteously. He said, here's the kingdom of heaven. What do you need? So they listen to him. They test him. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better. And it goes on and says, and they were fatter. Amen. Fat is the anointing. We think fat is the anointing. That's what I say anyway. So I don't know. You know, you can always tell when I'm on the level. Why is that, Lee? Bubbles in the middle. All right. So he goes on here, and he said, all right, and they were fatter than the youths that had been eating the king's choice food. And in every matter of wisdom, understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the others. He found them 10 times better. Just, you know, what caused that? Their appeal and how they did the appeal. And you need to understand that Babylon's a bad place. Daniel and those guys stayed there till they died. But see, when you see all this, and this happened real good. This is great. Man, look at what happened. But I'll tell you what happened a little bit later. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. That's when lockjaw started happening. Study it out, Clint. Clint, study it. I don't know when lockjaw started, but I guarantee it had to be somewhere around there. You know, so the lion, and he made a bed out of him. He was, while he was sleeping. What set that up? When he was 14. Because when he's in the lion's den, he's 80. All right, I need to close with this. I've gone too long. Did you learn anything today?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank him. Bless him. Bless him. And also, I mean, the three Hebrew children was there with them, and they got thrown in a little bit later. They got thrown in a fiery furnace, heated 7 times harder than normal. And they look in and say, how many did we put in there?
3.
I see 4. So all of a sudden, because they followed Daniel in all these appeals and the way of God, purpose in your heart to serve God, and you're in a corrupt city. See, it is in Daniel when he started telling you all about these things and that concerns Revelation, the end of times. All of this, all of that came from Daniel in a corrupt place. But he wasn't corrupted by the corrupt place. He held a standard that he was willing to die for. He held a standard that he knew his God, his Lord was going to take care of him, but he was going to do it God's way. And that's what we got to do. We got to have this purpose. We got to go through all this. Like I said, there's about 40 sets of notes over there. You can have it. And anyway, let's stand. If you haven't purposed in your heart that you're going to walk with God no matter what, you need to do that today. You need to do that. And you will be tested on it. Every declaration you make, you will be tested on it. Every word that you get, you will be tested on it. That's the way of God. It is. And he's not hurting you. He's not trying to be mean to you. He's letting you know that he loves you. But he's wanting us to be able to, even though we're born again, he's wanting us to become more and more and more like his son. We can have everything else. We can have the programs. We can have lights. We can do a lot of stuff and be a happening church. But if we do not have the likeness of Christ being built inside us, we've got all the fluff and all the stuff, but we don't have him being demonstrated. I'm not saying you're not born again. I'm saying, but you being demonstrated in your living. He wants us to become more and more like Christ. We should purpose in our heart to let that be our life's goal. Become like Jesus. You can have all that and have good stuff, but you don't have Jesus. Or you can have not have that, but have Jesus. I'm going to choose Jesus. How about it? Give me Jesus. I speak Jesus. All right, turn to your neighbor and said, I'm ready to go eat. I didn't say go eat. I'm messing with you. Let's pray so we can go eat. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the love that you have in this place. Thank you so much that you love us, you care for us, you watch after us, you have delivered us from sin and from the power of sin. And Lord, you brought healing to our lives. And Lord, you brought peace to our lives. And Lord, I just thank you for everything that you've done. And we love you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.